May I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we now continue our sermon series on prayers, and today we're looking at unanswered prayers. Lord, teach us to pray. Attempts to give us some help in dealing, I think, you know, with the awful times when our prayers are just not answered. I think it's very likely that many of you here this morning will know the pain and anguish of unanswered prayers. For me, I'm thinking of the night that my husband David died in the bed beside me. I'm thinking of the night that my daughter's husband Martin died, aged just 28, after 20 months of marriage. I'm thinking of the time that I was evicted from my first church whilst undergoing treatment for cancer. And I'm also remembering the morning whilst on my way to work, I ran over and killed someone's precious darling cat. The owner came out, and actually she was very gracious, saying it wasn't my fault, but she was very distressed. I offered to pray for this cat, and I asked God to breathe life back into this inert creature. Even as I recount this story, I feel intensely embarrassed, because needless to say, perhaps you're not surprised to hear that my prayer went unanswered. And I felt I was left with egg on my face, and I still ask God now, why, when I stepped out in faith to do something totally bizarre, really, he didn't hear my cry. But you know, in each and every occasion, the only way I have survived was by clinging to God, even though it did seem so often that he was deaf to my cries. It's only with the gift of hindsight that we can look back and see that God was there in the darkness of unanswered prayers, as he was with Jesus, particularly when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as we've just heard, those poignant and distressing words that my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Then in the next breath we read that being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood. Unanswered prayer is one of the most difficult theological questions to come to terms with. We often feel that God has abandoned us in our hour of need. Mary, the mother of Jesus, must have felt God's rejection when she stood gazing at her beloved son, bleeding and dying on the cross. She was blessed to see her prayer answered 3 days later when Jesus rose from the dead. We may well have to wait until we reach heaven to comprehend God's plan and to see the reason our prayer seemed to be unanswered at this time. You may feel that God is asleep or doesn't care when you're suffering, or that he's far too busy to be involved with your little worries. So often we wait until we're desperate before we cry out to God. It's easy to forget that answers to prayer come in many different guises, often through the caring love of others, by a word of reassurance, a shared experience, a touch, a scripture, a phone message, a card, or even a piece of music. These are all ways that God comes to us and answers prayers, not in the way perhaps we are expecting. Pete Gregg suggests that by being vulnerable with our loved ones and friends, we allow God to touch us through their action, which in turn strengthens us. And looking back, I can see that this did happen in my life, when people came alongside and I shared my vulnerability and sadness. Jesus showed his vulnerability in the Garden of Gethsemane when he shared with his friends Peter, James and John that he was deeply distressed and troubled, and even said, "Stay here and keep watch." Jesus needed his three best friends by his side when he faced his darkest hour. He didn't try to put on a brave face. Jesus must have felt totally abandoned by his Father and felt that even his prayers were unanswered at that time. And the second suggestion that Pete Gregg is giving us in his book is to take our hurt to God. Pray, 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 he says. And by this, I don't mean using churchy type liturgy that you have to be sure to get the words right. Just be natural, be yourself. If we've got a problem, we go to our parents or a friend. We don't go with a script and we read off a sheet. We pour out the innermost feelings of our heart. We cry, we shout, we holler sometimes. And Peter says, do this. Really cry out to God and open your heart. Tell him exactly how you're feeling. I remember many, many years ago, my youngest daughter had a curvature of the spine diagnosed, and she was just 11. And she had to wear a body brace, and we were told she had to wear it 23 hours a day. And we had it fitted, and I remember coming back home, and she was screaming like an animal because she just wanted it off and wanted it out of it. I couldn't cope with it. My mother-in-law was amazing. And I left and I went back to my parents, and I remember sitting at their feet, crying my heart out. I shared my vulnerability and my sadness, and it helped. And I went back and I was able to cope and be strong with her and say, no, you've got to wear it 23 hours a day, which she did for the next 4 years. And she avoided having to have major surgery in her spine. So pour out your feelings and your hurt to God. He's there. He wants to share with us. If after trying everything humanly possible, your prayers are still unanswered, don't turn your back on God. It may be time to let go and let God. Whatever the outcome of your unanswered prayer, don't pull away from God. You need his presence every hour, every day to see you through. It's only that being close to God in my dark times that got me through my darkest hours. When the medical intervention ceases to work, when the relationship comes to an end, when your plans for the future are turned upside down, when your worries have become so heavy that you want out, then it's time to say, okay, Lord, let your will be done. And at this point, practice stillness in your prayer. Stop. Stop with the words and just sit at your Father's feet. Become a Mary and leave the Martha in the kitchen to do the worrying. It's probably time to perhaps say a prayer of relinquishment. Father, your will be done in my life. And the sort of prayer that you could pray it like this would be, Lord, I do not know what to ask of you. Only you know what I need and what will be good for me in the future. I simply present myself and my situation to you. I have no other desire than to accomplish your will. And then, having prayed a prayer something like this, get out of the driving seat and climb into the back and allow Jesus to take the steering wheel. Your problem may still be there, but I promise you that you will experience a peace that truly passes all understanding, and God will travel with you. A bit like that poem. Do you remember the footsteps in the sand? I thought it would be appropriate just to remind us and read that, because it may be that some of you are feeling that at the moment. Footsteps, footprints. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that at many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest time in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." And the Lord replied, "My precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Amen.